with you. That's beautiful. Come on, that worship is beautiful. Let God touch you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, he's so worthy. He's so holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel a wonderful presence. Think about it, God is not finished. Amen. God wants to speak to us, each one of us here tonight. And I'm so glad that he cares so much for us, that he wants to bless and touch. I want to speak tonight about our mind. Our mind, the battlefield of Christ's simplicity or counterfeit. Folks, that's where it all takes place. When I was Reed was singing that song, and he said his train filled the temple. If you understand that, when a king would go into a battle, and they would defeat the other king, they would take off his robe, and they would sew it onto his, because it was a victory. So when you hear of the Lord's train filling the temple, what that is all the victories that he's blessed us with. Think about it. Your victory that God has given you in your walk with him is sewed onto that train. Hallelujah. And that's the great God we serve. He cares for each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. And he wants to bless and touch every one of us. But so often, our minds can't grasp. Maybe we've been through some things in our life and it's just like, it's hard for me to understand that Jesus Christ really loves me. But I'm telling you tonight, folks, it's a battleground here. But God wants us to understand how much he loves us, and he's talking about the simplicity of the love of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let me read that and I'll go through and explain some things here. It says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent," or that orphan's perception, or that vision, beguiled. That word beguiled means to deceive or seduce. He beguiled Eve through his subtlety. In other words, tricks, lies. That's how he beguiled her. That's how he tricked her. So your minds, the perception, that is, the purpose, or the intellect, or the disposition, should be corrupted. To corrupt is to pine, or to waste, to shrivel, or wither. That is, to spoil, or ruin, or deprave. From the simplicity, the singleness, the sincerity, without self-seeking, the simplicity that is Christ. Lord, right now, God, I pray that your will be done in this house. God, I pray that you'll speak through your servant, Lord, to every heart here tonight. God, and help us to understand, hallelujah, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, and you want to bless. In the mighty name of Jesus, give him a hand clap as you're seated. Our minds, the battleground of Christ's simplicity or counterfeit. We must identify truths about the battleground of our mind. The way we become another sad story, or the way we are numbered among the fallen, is when we lose the battle for our mind. There's a battle every day raging for our mind, folks. Paul was writing to the church. He is saying that the devil is after your mind. The devil is after your will. He is after your feelings. He is after your intellect and your belief. That's why we have to be so guarded what we allow to come through our eyes and what we hear through our ears. We have to understand, folks, that it is a battle every day. And there might be something, if we're listening to the wrong things, that would interrupt and get in the way of seeing the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the church. He is saying that the devil is after your mind. He's after your intellect. He's after your belief. He's after your feelings. And Satan is a great suggestion. And our Savior is a great salvation. We cannot go to hell by mistake, nor can we make it to heaven by an accident. The enemy works by suggesting doubt and questions. You see, Eve's decision was not just made with God's word in her mind, but the enemy clouded her mind, her mind's eye, with his suggestions. You see, he did not come right out and say, here, eat the fruit. And when we heed the suggestions of Satan, it creates a disunity between God and ourselves. In Romans 8, verse 6 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Understand, folks, the mind, the flesh equals death. Romans 8, 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What brings death in our life is our mind, whichever we yield it to. Hear me what I'm saying. What brings death in our mind is whichever we yield our mind to. In John 13, verse 2, and super being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. In Acts 5, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Understand tonight, folks, both Judas and Ananias once were good men. But what happened? They allowed junk into their minds and it caused their deaths. Matthew 15, 18 to 20, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Evil thoughts, negative thoughts come from what we allow into our mind. Conversations with things that we listen to, shows that we watch, literature that we read. All these things, folks, war against the things that God wants us to think about. Jesus said the prince of this world, referring to Satan, has come and has nothing in me. There was no area in Jesus' life that the enemy could get a hold of. Nothing. Because, why? His mind was filled with the Word of God and was filled with the Spirit of God, and his life was destined by the purpose of God. It's like I was talking this morning. It's not just reading the Word of God. It's not just talking about it, hearing things preached. It's meditating on the Word day and night, folks. We have to meditate on it. Say, God, I want those pure things that you have for me. God, I want to live what is holy. I want to be what you want me to be. Meditate on it day and night. Ephesians 2 talks about the fulfilling of the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, folks, we are the children of wrath. Wrong thinking, wrong actions, right thinking, right actions. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful leads the list. Amen? But the fearful, it leads the list to be cast into hell. Why? Because fear is the supreme enemy of faith. Fear produces unbelief. The word of the Lord says, fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Mark 5:36 and Luke 8:50 simply say, fear not, only believe. You see, but it has been this way for years. And I have been through so much. And the facts are, folks, the enemy's job is to corrupt our minds from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Only believe. Pretty simple, isn't it? Only believe. Only believe the simplicity of Jesus Christ. I believe in you, God. I can believe you do anything. You can heal my body. You can heal my mind. You can give great miracles. Only believe. Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Far from oppression, because I allow no fear, and because I am established in righteousness. David knew. He knew the supreme value of our thoughts when he prayed in Psalms 19:14. Let thy words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. It's pretty simple. Only believe. What is David saying? God, help me to think right. That's what he's saying. God, help me to think right. In Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. The word says, thief comes to steal. What's he stealing? Precious seed of faith planted by the preaching of the word of the Lord. The thief comes. The thief does this because he does not want faith to take root in your heart. That's why he's coming. I hear the word of God. I got all excited. God blessed me. I danced around the church. I got home, and here comes that thief. Let me just take that. He doesn't want that faith to grow. He doesn't want it to take root in your heart because he understands what faith produces. That's why we got to meditate on it, folks. Hey, man, he can't have it because I'm meditating on it all the time. And when you have the words of hope in life, it will bring the same harvest. In 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of grace that it is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The loins are the reproductive area of the human body. And so our mind is to the reproductive area of our spirit. And it must be girded up with the words of the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is that? We got to demolish some things. We got to bring them to extinction. Demolish them. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought Come on, every thought. What? To the obedience of Christ. What's imaginations? It is reasoning. It is your conscience. It is conceit. Imaginations are thoughts. What are thoughts? It is purpose or implication, the intellect, the dispossession, the disposition itself, device, mind, thought. We have to bring them down. Casting down those imaginations. Casting down that reasoning. Casting down those thoughts. The mind that's not thinking toward the things of God. Hey, man, we have to renew that mind. Amen? Renew it. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. We can't think like the world. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that it may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you thinking? Is what you're thinking pleasing to God? If it isn't, folks, you're giving place to the devil. Understand, his intent is to destroy. I like, you know, there's sometimes I'm just pretty stubborn. My wife will tell you. I don't want to give place to him. I don't want him to win this battle. We have to be determined. I have to think on good things. I have to meditate on the Word of God. Amen. Things that are pleasing to God. Amen. I got to renew my thinking. Come on. We got to win, folks. Amen. And we do it with the thinking, a new revelation. In other words, you have to do a renovation. When you renovate, you take out the old junk and you put in the new stuff. And even if they want to use some of the old, they clean it all up and they make it nice. But there's sometimes things, there's certain things that are just beyond repair. I got into this crazy job this year of redoing my back porch. And I wish it was done a week ago. But it's one of those things. When I used to do remodeling things, and I would give people a here, this is how much it's going to cost. What's that called? Quote, estimate. And I would always tell them, here's the cost. But if I get in behind that wall, because I can't see what's behind that, it may go up. Like me, when I tore my porch off, I thought, I'll just put a new deck on, right? Tore it off, and the whole front two boards all the way across the front of my deck were almost ready to fall down. Rotted. I was frustrated. I got to go running back to those stores. I hate Home Depot. I hate Menards. I hate all them places. You can't just walk in and get something in a quick hurry. It takes forever. But I had to go back there and get more lumber, come back, tear out that old stuff, put in new. Why? Because I want it to last. I'm not going to put old new stuff over top of old junk. Folks, we cannot live for God with our old way of thinking. Come on, we got to get rid of the old, tear it all out, say it's time for a renovation here. I got pictures. If you want to see them, I'll show you those boards. They look terrible. But anybody here would think that if I would cover it up with good stuff, they thought I'd be out of my mind. So think about that. Here we are, calling ourselves Christians, want to do what's right, but yet we got our old way of thinking. We're out of our minds to think we're going to grow in Jesus Christ with our old way of thinking. We got to get rid of some things. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be reformed, be renovated in the intellect. That is the mind, divine or human, in thought, feeling or will, by implication meaning mind, understanding. Philippians 4, 4 through 8, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God. You want the peace of God? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We've got to start. You need to ask yourself, is what I'm thinking about pleasing to God? This old flesh likes to get, you know, it's old routine. You can't let it. I've got to think on good things. Listen, you can't stop thoughts from coming, but you don't got to dwell on it. You can't stop a bird from flying over, but you sure can't stop him from nesting. 2 Corinthians 11, 3-4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his civility, so let your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which whom have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You see, in our materialistic world today, there are products that many companies try to duplicate. They are not the name brand, but they are counterfeits of the real thing. So it is in the religious realm also. There are many spirits in the world, but there's only one spirit of Jesus Christ. These spirits work very hard, folks, on churches and on religious groups. And Satan already has the sinner that is not serving God. He's got that. He knows that. But what about the Christian? What about the church realm? There is another gospel of Jesus Christ being preached today. There are spirits and there are teachings that doctrine doesn't matter anymore. Holiness and godly conduct, they're not necessary anymore. You just got to believe. That's what they say. All you got to do is believe. But Jesus made the following statement in Luke 12. 51 through 53, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. I had somebody ask me about that not too long ago. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father and the mother against the daughter against the mother and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why did Jesus say this would take place? Jesus does bring peace to the believer. But what was he really saying here? Jesus was saying that doctrine and preaching of the gospel will cause people to be divided. Division among religious groups are so common today. Why? You know, you hear this, well, can't we all just get along? We're all serving the same God. No, we're not. No, we're not. Oh, it's getting quiet. Jesus saying that doctrine and preaching of the gospel will cause people to be divided. Division among religious groups. Division among different churches. The answer is found in our scripture reading that we read above. The answer to division among families, answer to division among religious groups is spirit. It is a spirit of false another Jesus. The cause that causes these divisions. It sounds God-like, but they deny the doctrine that governs the church. The scriptures clearly teach us about false prophets. They clearly teach us about teachers. And John warned us. He said to try the spirits. In 1 John 4:1-3, beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, you can say it like this, beloved, believe not every teacher. Believe not every preacher. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. What are the conditions in trying the spirit? A false spirit does not believe that Jesus came in the flesh. In other words, they do not believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Then believing that he was God Almighty robed in flesh. Folks, you cannot nail a spirit to the cross. A spirit cannot bleed. So God said, well, I'm a spirit. But I'm going to go down and I'm going to be that supreme sacrifice. So he took and he poured flesh over top. And he went down as a baby born in a manger and grew into a man. And he went and died on a cross for you and for me. Not two, not three, but one true God dwelling in flesh, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Word made flesh in John 1. Does the teacher preach the whole counsel of God? Does he believe in the true biblical plan of salvation, of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Does he teach it? Does the teacher believe in holiness on the inside and on the outside? The Bible clearly teaches abstaining from worldly looks, abstaining from actions of the world and the conduct of the world. Another gospel in 2 Corinthians 11, the spirit is one based on emotionalism, pride, and self-believism. They teach that you just have to believe. And the doctrine and the standards, which is clearly seen in scriptures, are not necessary to be saved. They leave out the true essence of holiness. They leave out the righteousness and obedience to God. I want to say that we are in dangerous times, but also in promising times. You see, folks, because there are people that are hungry for God. And they may fall into some of these traps that we talked about. But folks, if they really are hungry for truth, they will push by the false teachings of the world and they will find real gospel spirit of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. In Jude 3, it says, contended for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What's that mean? That means hold on to the truth. Don't you dare compromise. Don't let down your standards. Don't let down the stance on the doctrine. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 that the doctrine would save him. In other words, it will keep him saved. see, there's many divisions that arise because of doctrine. Many feel it's not important, but Jesus stated firmly in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, keep my suggestions. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, while many people claim to love Jesus, a lot are not keeping his commandments. Well, Jesus loves me, and if he really loves me, and he's a God of love, he won't do this and he won't do that. Let me tell you something. He's a good heavenly father. And he's not one of those people that tell you, one, two, two and a half. No. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And he gave us commands. See, there's a lot of promises in the Word of God, but they're all predicated on if. If you'll do this, then I'll bless this. Right, Sister Denora? Right, Sister Shelley? If you'll do these things, God will do his part. Listen, folks, Jesus taught the apostles what to do. You know what a disciple would mean? A disciple is a disciplined learner. He taught them how he wanted his church to operate. And they taught what Jesus told them. Right? So why not obey what they taught? You know, Jesus prayed for, in John, he prayed for the disciples and all that would come to him through their words. You can't pick and choose what you want to listen to. Jesus taught the apostles what to do and to teach. So why not obey what they taught? It's still God's word, isn't it? We need, in these last days, to hold unto the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen? We have to guard our mind. We have to try the spirits. Because your future, your eternity depends on it. This altar's open. And I think there's some minds here that we need to ask God to touch. God, touch my mind. Help me, God, to meditate on the things of God. Help me, Lord God, hallelujah, to guard myself, to try the spirits. Come on, let God touch you here tonight.